Good morning. Welcome to Stony Creek Church. And he's right, it is a great day to be together. And I invite you to get your outline out, right? So you can follow along with the message this morning. It should be there in your program, which you got when you came in. And if you're watching online, glad you're with us too. If you would, hit that like button there. Kind of helps us to get the word out. Appreciate it. Well then, how many of you are tired of political ads? There we go. Yeah. Well, universal agreement on that one. Yeah, we can agree on that, if nothing else, you know. How many of you have already voted? Okay, I'm with you on that one, too. How many are concerned that if the wrong people get into office, it will bring serious harm to our country? How many would say that? Yes, okay. Well, today, I won't presume to tell you how to vote or which candidate to back, except for one. One candidate. In fact, the title of the message today is A Candidate You Can Trust. A candidate who's soliciting your support and richly deserves it. A candidate who can, who will ensure that all will be well if we back him, if we campaign for him, if we choose him as our leader. Here's that one candidate that you can trust no matter what. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Help me when you come to the yellow print. It says, trust in the Lord, in Yahweh. He's the candidate. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not rely on your own understanding. In all your ways, know him, and he will make your paths straight. That was written by King Solomon about 960 BC or so. Maybe you say, but Randy, how can you say trust the Lord, just trust the Lord, when so much is at stake here? We must convince people of the deception going on, the destruction of lives that will only get worse if we don't get the right people into office. My answer is that I am painfully aware of what is at stake. And yes, Christians should speak up boldly for the truth, for justice, for life from womb to tomb, for family, for religious freedom, for freedom of speech, stand up for Israel. And every Christian should vote accordingly, but I also know that this candidate, the Lord, is the one and only we must trust above all, because he's in control of history. He's in control of the rise and fall of nations. You say, yeah, I know all that. Of course, I know all that. Well, okay, if you know all that, then you're good to go. You're not going to be worried or overly concerned or stressed out. But for the rest of us, I'm preaching this message. You see, maybe you don't need this, but I do. Definitely. That I'm addressing today those of you with big concerns and anxiety over your future, over the future of your kids and country. If, on the other hand, I don't trust God, well, it doesn't matter who wins the election, you see. Because in that case, my future is in danger. But if I do trust him, I'll be okay, even in the worst case scenario. And the same is true for you. It's all wrapped up in our main idea. The one thing you need to remember, if you forget everything else, it goes like this. Make your future great always by trusting the Lord. We're looking today at this passage, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, and we're going to identify three activities involved in supporting this candidate. Perhaps you say, well, I do support this candidate. Well, here's what's involved in that, according to this scripture passage. The first activity is depend on the Lord. Depend on him, not your own smarts. You know, many candidates besides the Lord are campaigning for your support, vigorously. And I don't mean just politicians. That's not what I'm talking about here. I mean any candidate in the metaphorical sense who's campaigning against the Lord for your trust. It might be the views of your peers, your friends, maybe influencers on social media. 24/7, they bombard you with their ads that say, think this way, act this way, talk this way. They don't just do it on TV or social media or texting or flyers that you get in your mailbox. They invade your thoughts. And according to Solomon, the toughest competitor against the Lord for your thoughts, the one who's campaigning the hardest in verse 5, he says, is your own understanding. That's the one to watch out for. In other words, your own smarts, what's right in your own eyes. As we've been learning, as we've studied the past several weeks, in the book of Judges. Your own understanding, it's a serious threat to the rule of God in your life. For example, the Lord says to tell the truth, don't tell lies, always be honest. And of course, I agree with that. But my own understanding, why? My own understanding campaigns for a modification in certain cases. Like, let's say my job requires me to tell white lies, just little ones, little white lies. Now, in my case, my job does not require me to do that, I can gratefully say. But let's just suppose that it does. Well, my own understanding tells me, in that case, it's okay. Well, will my own understanding get my vote? Or will the Lord get my vote? Which candidate will I trust? Or the Lord says, I should tithe of my income to the church. I should be generous with everything the Lord gives to me. In fact, later in this same passage, Solomon goes on to say, verse 9, honor the Lord with your wealth and with the best part of everything you produce. The best part, right off the top. Verse 10, then, he He will fill your barns with grain, and your vats will overflow with good wine. I like good wine. I want my vats to overflow. I totally agree with this, don't you? But then my own understanding adds an amendment. If I can afford it, I'll do that. You know, right now I'm kind of short on funds, and when I start making a little more money, I can do that. But now, why, I wouldn't be able to pay my bills. I wouldn't be able to afford the vacations I like. I wouldn't be able to drive the nice car. Boy, the payments are pretty expensive these days. The gadgets I like, I wouldn't be able to furnish my home the way I like to. Which candidate will I trust? Will I trust God's promise to provide for me, or will I trust my own understanding? We're asked to vote on so many ballot initiatives, aren't we? For example, God says, wait until marriage to have sex with the person that you want to have sex with. But proposition culture tells me that sleeping together first with that person or living with that person, it only makes sense, especially in my financial situation. I agree with God, of course, I agree, but in my situation, which candidate will I trust? You see, trust is much more than just agreement with certain facts. If it doesn't affect my behavior, I'm not trusting. The Hebrew word trust that's used in Proverbs 3:5 is batach. It means to lean on, to depend on, to rest your weight on. This Tuesday, Debbie and I, Lord willing, will fly off to Italy in a plane, all right, for about 10 days. And when we step onto that plane, we will entrust ourselves, we will batach our lives to that plane. We're depending on it. Every ounce of me, every ounce of Debbie will be invested in that plane. If it makes it to Italy, so do we. If it goes down, so do we. We go where it goes. Because we're depending on it. Not just mentally, but physically. We are invested. We have skin in the game, literally. You see, if my trust in the Lord doesn't take me to another place, doesn't move me from point A to point B in the will of God, it's not the kind of trust we find in Proverbs chapter 3. Biblical trust always morphs into action. It always affects your behavior. And please note, as it says here, trust in the Lord with all your heart. This is a Hebrew way of saying with your whole being, with everything you got, with every ounce. In other words, your portfolio is invested in one stock, and that is the Lord. All your eggs are in that basket. You are not diversifying. It's all in Him, only in God. Now, perhaps you think, But isn't this kind of an anti-intellectual? Aren't I supposed to use the brain God gives me? Or maybe you think, this sounds kind of rigid, legalistic, hard and fast, black and white. I mean, if I insist on following the Bible in a slavish, legalistic way, won't I turn into a judgmental, critical, hypocritical Amish robot? There's an oxymoron for you. No slur intended against the Amish. Just, well, these are excellent questions, really. And I think they're addressed in the second activity involved in supporting this candidate. Number two on your outline, prioritize knowing the Lord. Knowing him. Anyone here know about Donald Trump? Anybody? Raise your hand if you know about him. How about Kamala Harris? Anybody here know about her? How about Joe Biden? Anybody here know about Joe Biden? Okay, how about Taylor Swift? All right, okay. Some of you know about Taylor Swift. All right, yeah. How about Jared Goff? All right, there we go. All right, yes. The hands are up for that one. And Abraham Lincoln. Anybody know about him? Yeah, you went to school, you knew about him, yeah. Now, in some cases, with some of these people, you may know actually quite a bit about the person. But knowing isn't the same as knowing about isn't the same as knowing the person personally. Does anyone here personally know any of the people that I named? Anyone? Any hand? You know, at the first service when I asked this, I had one lady raise her hand, and I said, oh, really, who are those, do you know? And she said, Donald Trump. And I said, well, I'd sure like his cell phone number. I wouldn't mind discussing a few things with him. So there it is. Trust in the Lord by knowing him personally. You know, most people know about God. Lots of hands will go up if I ask, do you know about God? Even an ardent atheist will say, yeah, I know about this supposed mythological being. Some people know the Bible backwards and forwards, can quote verses, can quote whole chapters in some cases, maybe whole books, and that's wonderful. If you're in Bible quizzing, more power to you. It's a great thing because Scripture is your number one sure source for correct information about God. But knowing it doesn't mean you know Him. Don't confuse knowing about with knowing Him. You say, oh, come on, Randy, aren't you just splitting hairs here? No. Absolutely not. This is essential to your life and eternity. Knowing about God is not enough. The devil knows quite a bit about God. Solomon here says, trust in the Lord in all your ways. Know him. Know him. Amen. Now, does that wording sound a little odd to you? Yeah, some of you are nodding. Maybe you memorized this verse. You say, that's not the way I remember it. I remember it saying, in all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. Well, yeah. King James Version says acknowledge. ESV says acknowledge. NASB, acknowledge. Net Bible, acknowledge. New King James, acknowledge. These are good translations, but I think they miss the mark in this particular case. You see, acknowledge can be purely intellectual. I acknowledge Joe Biden is president of the United States, but I don't know him. The NIV has submit to him. I love the NIV. It's a great translation of the Bible, but this is not much better than acknowledge. Because I could submit to, let's say, a ruler without knowing him, without even agreeing with anything he tells me to do. And then we have the New Living Translation. It says, seek his will in all you do. That's a little bit better. But it leaves out this connotation of relationship. The best rendering of this word, this Hebrew word, which we'll get to in a minute, is the one that I chose, the translation I chose for today, the Christian Christian Standard Bible, CSB. In all your ways, know him. Know him. Not just know the facts, not just know about him, not just know scripture, but know him. This is a personal experience that's involved in this knowing. It means the Hebrew word is yada. It means personal knowledge. It means intimate experience. You say, well, so all I need to do is squirrel away in my prayer closet, get touchy-feely with Jesus, and ignore the world around me and trust the Lord. No. Notice it says, in all your ways. In other words, in all your daily tasks, in everything you do, know him. In those things, know him. Now, yeah, it starts with getting touchy-feely with Jesus in your prayer closet, getting to know him deeply in prayer, conversational prayer, prolonged prayer, reading the Word of God, studying the Word of God. That's where it starts. But that's not where it ends. It's a great launching pad, but it's to launch you into the rest of the day, into your regular activities. You take a shower with the Lord. You eat breakfast with the Lord. You drive to work with the Lord. You talk with friends with the Lord. On your heart, in your mind, you watch TV. You pay your bills. You interact on social media. You cast your vote with the Lord. This is not robotic. This is relationship. This is not legalism. This is love. That's what we're talking about here. Think of your relationship with God like the furnace that heats your home. Now, typically, a furnace is in the basement if you've got one. Let's say you've got one. And it's down there in the basement on a really cold day. What's it doing? It heats up and it propels that heat to the rest of the house. That furnace is your relationship with the Lord. It's located in your soul, in your basement, the deep part of you. And the heat of that relationship is propelled throughout the whole house, all during the day, all during the night. It warms your every decision, your every thought, your every action. It prompts you to serve the Lord with your gifts in a ministry in the church. It's what prompts you to share Jesus with your unsaved friends. It's not fear or guilt. It's Him. It's the furnace that prompts you. It's what prompts you to help that needy person in a tangible way. It's what prompts you to say no to temptation, the relationship. Let's look at the third activity involved in supporting this candidate. Rest, that word is crucial, rest your future in God's hands. You say, okay, so if I trust the Lord, how will the election turn out? Well, verse 6 actually gives us the returns, the result of trusting and knowing God in all your ways. It says there, and He will make your paths straight. There it is. You know, for years, this really confused me more than helped me, because I couldn't understand, what's he getting at here? Make my way straight. Okay, does that means a nice clear path? Does it mean that there aren't going to be any bumps in the road? I'm not going to have any pain, any sorrow? Am I going to be prosperous? I'm going to have a nice house. I'm going to have a good income. I'm not going to get sick. Yada, 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 all those things. I didn't think that any of those were what it was saying, but I thought, what's he getting at here? Well, I was confused because I had intellectualized this passage, over-intellectualized it. Of course, I knew what the Hebrew word for trust meant, batak. I knew that. And I knew about a close relationship with the Lord. I taught about it. I preached about it. But acknowledging is not the same as doing. When faced with a big decision or a big challenge or a big trial, I would say, I need to pray. I need to trust God. I need to ask, what does His word say? I need to seek godly advice. Now, those are good things insofar as they go. But when it came to pulling the lever in the voting booth or coloring in the little oval, my thinking kept going like this, something like this. Okay, this is the best choice I can come up with. This is the way I'm going to go. I hope God is in it. God help me. Nothing wrong with that insofar as it goes, but what's missing? Trust. Resting my future in God's hands. The confidence God is with me in this. Not just, I prayed, but now I got to make up my mind. No, the expectation, the assurance that God is guiding me, not just might guide me, but is guiding me. This is where faith comes in. This is what faith is. Some people think that faith is when you pray something, if you have faith, you're going to not have a single doubt that you're going to get what you prayed for. That's not the kind of faith the Bible talks about. The faith that the Bible talks about says, I trust in God. He knows what I need. I've put it in His hands. I've made the petition for what I really think I need. And now I rest. Now I trust. I've asked Him to help me, and I know He's promised to do that. He has promised to help me. He's going to take me where I need to go. Whatever happens, I'm safe, I'm good, I'm resting my future in His hands. My path, it's in His hands. He will make your paths straight. So it's straight for me. Now, you know, when you're driving on a hilly road with lots of turns, and you feel kind of tense, perhaps, especially if you're unfamiliar with the road. It's nighttime, the weather's bad, you feel tense. You don't know what's coming around the next turn or over the next hill. Well, that was me going through life. Sometimes it still is me, truth be told. Because I don't know what's going to happen. I feel tense. I feel insecure. But if the road is straight and flat, as far as the eye can see, well, then I can relax. I can rest. Enjoy the ride. I knew this, but I needed to do this. When I rest my future in His hands, the way before me, Proverbs says, is made straight. Well, how can that be? Does it mean that all of a sudden I know what's going to happen before it happens? No, that hasn't changed. I don't know the future. Well, does it mean there's going to be no bumps in the road? This road looks pretty smooth, but is that what it's talking about? No bumps in the road. No, that's not what it's talking about. What it's talking about is, I know Him. I don't know the condition of the road. I don't know what's ahead, but I know Him. That's what's ahead. I am the way. That way is straight. You see, the furnace is on, and I'm benefiting from the heat. I trust Him, and therefore, I know that whatever is ahead, He's with me. He's got this. It's part of His plan for me. Even if it's painful, even if it isn't what I asked for, I know He has promised me that He's looking out for me, and He's working things together for my good. And so whatever it is, when it happens, He's got this. I can rest in it. And this is a world of reassurance to me. Trust in the Lord, and He will make your path straight. A little over a year ago, some of you know Pat Ray. She was diagnosed, she comes here to Stony. I don't see her with us right in this service. But she was diagnosed with a very aggressive, severe form of cancer. She began treatment, and basically, kind of an impolite surgeon told her, you're going to die soon. Yeah, that's what he said. People don't make it when they've got this. Well, of course, she went to get treatment, and we prayed for her, And she got this confidence, this peace about her. And she kept saying to me, God's got this. God's got this. It's going to be okay. A little while ago, a few weeks back, she told me, guess what? They can't find any more cancer. It's all gone. They can't find it. You see, that's trusting the Lord. Now, the Lord doesn't always take the cancer away. You got to die of something, you know, eventually, but the Lord does make the path straight. Trust, trust, trust. It is a synonym. The kind of trust we've been talking about is a synonym for faith or belief. Did you know that this is the single condition given in the Bible to be saved, to be born again? It's the same concept in John 3:16. Whoever believes in him, whoever trusts in him, will not perish, but have everlasting life. It's where the Christian life begins. You recognize that you're a sinner. You trust in the Lord. Why him? Because he's Lord, and also because he died for you. He paid the penalty for your sins, and he rose from the dead. And when you trust in him, you receive that relationship. You enter into that relationship, and your eternity is secure in him. That's the single condition. That's where it starts. And the whole Christian life is about trust in him. May I encourage you to memorize Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6. Memorize it. And when you go into the voting booth, say it to yourself. And do it. Do what it says. Don't just say it. Do it. When you watch the election returns on Tuesday night, and however long it takes to get some kind of a decision, all right? Say it. Say it to yourself and do it. Whatever you do this week, maybe you're going in for a job interview, a job you really need, a job you really want. When you go into that job interview, say it and do it. Maybe you're going in for test results to the doctor this week, and you have reason to believe the news may not be that good. Say it. Do it. Say it to yourself. Maybe you're feeling blue this week. You're depressed. Say it to yourself. Do it. Trust him. Trust him. And he will make your path straight. Well, let's stand together, shall we? If you're listening to this today and you say, you know what? I'm not born again. I've always had it up here, the truth of the gospel, but I haven't been leaning on him, trusting in him with my whole heart. If that's you, make the decision today to place all your reliance, your dependence on the Lord to save you. And if you'd like to do that, come on down here and pray with and seek counsel from one of the members of our pastoral prayer team. We'll be glad to help you. Or maybe you need healing in your life, or for somebody else or some situation. Come on down here and talk with one of them and pray with one of them. If you brought your offering, we're going to pray over that. Just put it in the offering box when you leave today. It's back there in the back of the auditorium. Well, let's pray as we dedicate our gifts to the Lord. Father, thank you. Thank you. You've proven yourself trustworthy all down through the centuries, all through the scriptures. You've proven it over and over and over again. But Lord, sometimes we doubt. Even if we know it in our heads, we don't lean on it. I don't. I confess. Lord, you've told us that when we do trust you, depend on you, you make the way straight. We know it's going to be okay. I know that, Lord. I enjoy walking in that peace. I pray that that would be the case for me and everybody in this room, everybody hearing my voice every day. Help us. Help our unbelief. Lord, we give to you our tithes and offerings. Please use them for your honor and glory as an act of worship. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.